taking it personally. We are getting towards the practical steps in this book, and so I'm really excited about sharing the Confused Soul Winner with you guys tonight. I shared it with the soul winners on Sunday, and I told him I was going to share it with you guys tonight. You say, the confused soul winner, he must cannot win any souls. Amen. On the contrary, we're going to get it all cleared up. Amen. Let's take our Bibles once again, Ephesians chapter number 6, and we're going to read verses 10 through 12 and then verse 15. So let's go ahead and stand together. Pray for Shane again. As I said, he's not feeling well. Ephesians chapter 6. And verses 10 through 12. Brother Jesse, any update on some of the specific prayer requests that you guys need other than selling car and home? Getting everything inside the house or just the procedure? Houses, amen. So y'all pray for the house situation. How many of y'all ever sold a house? Tiring, isn't it? Amen. It's tough, amen. A lot to do, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. We're going to read those together, and then we're going to drop down to verse number 15 as we are talking about standing for the Lord. This area we're talking about is standing for soul winning, amen. So start with me in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And step down to verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together, that you may be uplifted. Lord, we may be a little bit more refined in our soul-winning endeavors. Lord, and that you would get all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. The last time that we met together, let's see, we left off on looking for an opportunity to turn the conversation. And that was on page in your book. Let's see here. Page 26 is where we left off at. And let me give you the answers to the rest of that chapter before we go into establishing new Christians. Let me give you all the answers, as a matter of fact. Starting back on page 24, making a soul winning visit. The blank there is soul winning. A was example conversations. We talked about that last week. Some things that you can begin to say. Number one was introduce yourself. Introduce yourself. If you're going door knocking or canvassing, we talked about last week, you did not get an invitation. So you're there at their house unannounced. And so introduce yourself. Then we saw clearly give the name of your church. You want to make sure that you can extinguish the fact that we are not with the Jehovah's Witnesses. We are not with the Mormons. We are not with the Reformers Unanimous or none of that stuff. We're with the Shining Light Baptist Church. Okay, explain the purpose of your visit. Then on page 26, invite them to your church. You want to try to get the chance to invite them to your church. What's the ultimate goal? The goal is to get them to the church or get them to Christ. The ultimate goal is to get them to Christ. Amen. We can't get them to Christ. We'll get them to the church. Amen. We'll take whatever we can get. And then determine if this is the right time to continue the visit. What did I say can happen if it's not the right time and you continue the visit and it's not the right time? Huh? They could slam the door in your face, amen. Most folks don't do that, but what do they do if they don't slam the door in your face when it's not a good visit and you continue to continue? They don't have time. What will they tend to do? Agree with you. They kind of look off into space as you're talking because they're thinking about what's burning in the kitchen or, you know, the kids around their ankle, you know, and, you know, they're looking at kind of that blank stare. And you're going on with the gospel. You're thinking, man, I'm getting somewhere. You're getting nowhere. Amen. So make sure that you confirm, is this the time to continue with the visit? And then look for an opportunity to turn the conversation. That's where we left off at last time. Look for an opportunity to turn the conversation. Why do we want to turn the conversation? Give get it going in the right direction, lead them to the Lord. Ultimately, we want to talk about what type of things? Spiritual things, amen. Is it all right to talk about the March Madness right now? Yes, that's what's going on right now. Is it all right to talk about the NBA? Yes, that's what's going on right now. Is it all right to talk about hockey? Yes, that's what's going on right now. But the goal is to turn those conversations. You know, is it okay to talk about the Super Bowl? Not unless your team won. No, it's okay, amen. Elijah's a New England Patriots fan, amen. Atlanta lost. I was at John's house a couple days ago. And, of course, you know, John's Atlanta fan. And I said, John, talk to me, man. What happened? He said, oh, Pastor, it was brutal. It was brutal. He said, as soon as we got up, I knew it was a bad omen. It was a bad sign. I knew it. I said, but what happened? He said, you know, that guy should have punted the ball. Now, I didn't see the game. So anybody know who was he talking about should have punted the ball? Who is this? He said he shouldn't have punted the ball. He should have kicked the field goal. Elijah's agreeing. Yeah, they should have. Amen. He said, if they would have done that, he said, the game probably would have been different. He said, but then they got taken out of field goal range. He said, it was all downhill from there. Amen. Is there anything wrong with talking about that? No. But what is the goal? To get it back on spiritual things. By the way, how can you get a football conversation back on spiritual things? How can you possibly, the New England Patriots, how could you get the New England Patriots on something spiritual? Yes. Amen, amen. So if they made those kind of comments, say, hey, look, you know, you're talking about the game and this, that, and the other, say, hey, did you hear that one Atlanta guy? And he was out there praying and or were praising God. You know, hey, I'm a Christian too. Let me tell you about the Lord. Or some of these guys that kneel in the end zone and pray. Say, hey, New England, they scored a touchdown. Gronkowski, he kneeled in the end zone. He prayed. I don't know if he prayed or not. Amen. But, you know, I wonder if he's a Christian. And, well, I don't know. Say, well, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? And you can just turn that thing real quick. I used to love Kurt Warner because he was always praising the Lord, giving the Lord the praise. Kurt Warner, when he prayed for Arizona. I mean, he was always putting Jesus right there. And folks sometimes tried to avoid him. You know, he's giving God the glory. And they're like, yeah, but what did you do? I didn't do anything. It was the Lord. But, you know, yeah, we know it was the Lord. But what did you do? I mean, he kept diverting the attention right back to the Lord. Amen. So these athletes, whether they're MBAs or they're football, you want to try and turn the conversation to talk about of the Lord. Amen. Notice what it says here. I don't know if this is in your book. It said, ultimately, however, I'm looking for an opportunity to say something to turn the conversation so I can share the gospel. Depending upon what they have already said to me, I may say something like this. Joe, going to church is so important, and I'm glad you do. Ultimately, though, the most important matter of all is where you will spend eternity. Could I ask you to do you know for sure that you will be in heaven? Often the person will say they don't know. For sure. But they hope they will go to heaven. That gives me the opportunity to respond. Would you like to know? Amen. So he leads right in with that. So that's a good way of getting someone the gospel. That's right there in your book. Amen. And by the way, I shared this on Saturday. Let me read it to you now and give you some information. It's called The Confused Soul Winner. I read this on Saturday talking to the men here. And it says several people were looking at me at this point. The question was this: what is the greatest problem in soul winning across America today? What would you say the greatest problem in soul winning across America is today, other than people just don't do it? Yes. Fear. Okay. What else? We say is the great soul winning problem across America today, other than fear? What's another one? There's a bunch of them. People don't think they need their soul saved. Amen. Jenny? Everyone's too busy, amen, including the people that are trying to get saved on the inside of the house, amen. What else? The great problem in soul winning, because this is called the confused soul winner. Yes, ma'am? Faith of being rejected, amen, amen. That is true. Notice what he says here. He says, without thinking of proper ways to phrase my response, I replied, Christians playing the Holy Spirit. He said, the greatest problem is Christians trying to play the Holy Spirit. Notice what he goes on to say. Several people were looking at me at this point, and I knew they wanted to ask, what do you mean by that statement? We discussed this subject for several minutes, and I honestly believe it was one of the greatest helps I've ever seen for a group of people who already believe in soul winning and are committed to regular presentations of the gospel. Let me give a brief word of explanation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, there are two tremendous phrases which refer to the position held by the Christian who is an obedient servant to the master. First of all, it teaches that each of us has been given the ministry of reconciliation. How many of y'all know that? We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. He says, what a privilege and opportunity to be engaged in a ministry that literally brings men and God together. Because of this ministry, we are called ambassadors for Christ. It is our task as Christians performing this ministry of reconciliation to give the gospel to anyone at any place, at any time, as we are able. Now, notice what he says there next. He says, the Holy Spirit takes the message that we give and convicts the heart. The Holy Spirit prepares the heart for the message. The Holy Spirit convicts, draws, and convinces, and God gives the increase. So we know that, okay? But notice what he says. Again, it is not our job to convict, to convince, to draw, or give the increase. It's not our job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. However, any sincere Christian who has ever worked at soul winning at one time had drawn back from presenting the gospel plan, notice this, because he or she felt the prospect was not ready. Amen. Oftentimes for little kids, we don't think they're ready, so we're not going to give them the gospel because they're too little. All right. He goes on to say this. We think they're not ready. Or perhaps even after the gospel plan was presented, he felt he should not ask the prospect to receive Christ as Savior because his heart did not seem prepared. He goes on, if we're not careful, we will size up a person on the basis of whether or not we feel he or she is spiritually ready to listen to the gospel or receive Christ as Savior. So in other words, we've already sized up whether they're ready or not. Do we really know who's ready and who's not? We don't have a clue. Who knows that? The Holy Spirit of God. And so he's saying that that's the greatest problem. He goes on to say this. He says, if our soul winning method begins to take this approach or status, we become inspectors instead of presenters. We're inspecting. Let me see if Pastor White's ready to receive the gospel or not. Let me see if Aaron's ready to receive the gospel or not. Yeah, let me see if Jesse's ready to receive the gospel. Don't we do that? Guilty. Guilty. I know I'm guilty of it. I read this. This just convicted my heart. I said, oh, my soul. He says, this position looks and feels many times to be very spiritual. However, the end result is always the same. We are disobedient in giving out the message of reconciliation and fail as ambassadors for Christ to give the message to any and everyone that needs it. Ouch. I've been guilty of that. Every soul winner would be wise to prayerfully think through this and let the Holy Spirit apply it to his heart. We should learn a good soul winning plan and be ready to present the gospel to anyone on any occasion. If he refuses Christ, he has not refused us. Amen to that. If he will not listen to the entire presentation, we have still been obedient to the word of God. So we're in a win-win situation. However, the big question is, what if the prospect makes a decision and really doesn't mean it? Is that our responsibility? No. Here we go, playing the Holy Spirit once again, he says. We must understand that people can fool us on purpose. Amen. And sometimes they just to get you. By the way, the time that I went to church, you know why my wife said yes. I didn't say yes. She said yes. But you know why I went? To get him off my back. I was not going to church to give any kind of sincere credence to God at all. I was going to make my wife happy and to get that man off my back about going to church because I already lumped it up. I didn't need church. But Jesus was at church and I needed Jesus. Now, I already knew I needed something, but I didn't need church. And so the only reason why I went was to get him off of my back. I didn't go to make a profession or nothing. I was going to sit there with my arms folded like this. Wait till he spit, spin and sputtered, ran out of gas. And when they said the last amen, I was going to say, well, I did my ticket. I punched my card. I went to church. Don't bother me. No, I'll see you next time. If there is a next time. And I was going to leave the church. But guess what happened in the process? Holy Spirit arrested my soul. And guess what happened? In the meantime, I got saved. Amen. But again, why was I going to get him off my back? He said, people can fool us on purpose. I fooled those folks. I said, I'm going to come to church, but I ain't going to make no decision. We are not infallible. In fact, we are concerned, but honestly, we can do nothing to change the situation when a person makes a profession and doesn't mean it. A few will take this posture, but most people with whom we have the privilege to share and who do accept Christ are very sincere and simply need someone to love and disciple them. I've had but three occasions, to my knowledge, where people have accepted Christ in a public service, then had them come to me after the service, tell me that I had been in their homes, had presented the gospel, and had even had them bow their heads and pray, accept Christ. They said they prayed the sinner's prayer with me, only to mock me or laugh at me after I had left. He said it happened to him three times. He says this, of course, I did not know this. I believe that these people were just as sincere as anyone else. However, it bears repeating, these folks could not sleep. They could not get it off their minds. It was almost as if they could not wait to hear the gospel again and get things right with God. He says, you see, my job was to present the gospel, then give them the opportunity to say yes to the master. Even when someone makes an insincere profession on purpose, the Holy Spirit uses this to bring deeper conviction on his or her soul. Soul winner, let's remove the confusion surrounding our entire ministry of reconciliation. Our job is to present the gospel clearly to everyone and anyone on any occasion that we can. We should then carefully give them an opportunity to receive Christ as Savior. Let's leave the conviction, convincing, and the increase to God. That takes the responsibility off of us. I first read this and I thought, ooh, shame on pastor. I kind of look at people to see if they're ready. Like I'm the Holy Spirit. By the way, if somebody looked at Pastor Bennett and said, when I came into church, I looked mean. He said, I look mean. Mean as the devil is what he said I look like. Now, I don't know how mean the devil looks, amen, but I'm hoping I didn't look like that, amen. But he said, I came and I sat down and I had my arms crossed like this. You know how to have that pastor, why you see them guys come in there all chest poked out. They get that look like, move me if you can, preacher. I won't give a holy grunt. And by the time the service was over, tears was in my eyes. Amen. What happened? The Holy Spirit got to my heart. Now, if he'd have looked at me and said, based upon the way you look, you're not going to get saved, and never presented the gospel, guess what? I'd have left that church lost that day. And who knows if I'd have gotten saved. But he didn't look at me that way. He gave the gospel. He presented the gospel. And guess what I got? Saved. And so his point is this. Let's not be so quick to play the Holy Spirit and try to say this person can or cannot get saved. They said Ms. Dawson couldn't get saved. What do you think about that, Shireen? Ms. Dawson can't get saved. Now, what did they mean by that? She couldn't get saved. I don't know what they meant by it, but I thought, myself, if anybody's not going to get saved, it's going to be me. Amen? And so let's go back to our book here. I answer some things here. All right, look for the opportunity to turn the conversation, amen. You make some small talk first. Look for something you can compliment on, or okay, a manicured yard, support the team there. By the way, if I go to somebody's house, I'm from Illinois. So what do you think I'm always looking for from Illinois? Not snow, brother, amen. We try to stay away from the snow, amen. but I am looking for something from Illinois besides snow. We don't want snow. Being from Illinois, what am I always looking for from Illinois? Chicago Bears, or what else? Chicago White Sox, Chicago Cubs, Chicago Bulls, Blackhawks. I'm looking for anything, Lakeshore Drive. I'm looking for Sears Tower, anything that I can find in their yard or anywhere as I go in there. And what do you think the first thing I'm going to say when I talk to them? Are you from Illinois? And they say, well, yeah, we just moved. My neighbors across the street, by the way, they came with Illinois license plates. Guess what I said to them? Take a wild guess. Where y'all coming from in Illinois? And they told me where they're coming from. I said, get out of here. I said, I said, I'm from Illinois, too. I said, I'm from Joliet. Oh, we know where that's at. I said, not the prison. You know, and of course, they start joking and laughing. And I'm like, hey, you know, when are you guys coming inside? Where are you going at? Oh, we're looking for a good church. They never came yet, amen, but I'm still holding to that, amen. But just finding something that you can identify with. I'm sure if I would have, Pastor White opened up my door and I had a North Carolina shirt on, first thing he'd probably say, North Carolina. Matter of fact, Brother Hall's claim to fame is this. Pastor White wanted to talk about North Carolina so much. He's like, look, let's get me saved first. Then talk about North Carolina. Amen. He said, find out it was North Carolina. He's like, look, hey, man, you my brother from North Carolina. Brother Hall said, that's true, but I want to get saved too. Amen. Hey, why? He found the commonality. Find the common ground, and it's going to be easier to look for an opportunity to turn the conversation. But it's got to be something that, A, you're interested in, and then, B, that who else is interested in. They are. You got to find the interest. If they say, I don't watch sports, what do you think I'm going to talk about next? Not sports. Maybe Illinois' weather. Now I bring in the snow because now I found that they're not a sports fan. Now I say, man, isn't it nice weather out here compared to Chicago, compared to Illinois? Oh, yeah, it is. What made you guys move out here in the first place? Oh, my job. Where do you work at? I'm at the Air Force Base. Now what am I going to talk about? I was in the military, too. Where do you work at on the base? Oh, I work over here and such and such. Oh, do they still have this and this and this and this? Do they still have this? Hey, by the way, does the chapel still have services on base? Yeah. Well, we've got services too. Boom. See how I did that? Just quickly turn that. Now, of course, the chapel still have services. As long as you got people, you're going to have services. Amen. And so you're looking for an opportunity to turn the conversation. Amen. And you always want to find that end, if you would. By the way, if they say I'm busy right now, don't force the conversation. Ask for a time that you can come back. Notice what it says here. If they say, yeah, but I'm busy right now, because he says this, if you ask the person, would you like to know Christ? Excuse me. If they say, yeah, but I'm busy right now, don't force the conversation. Usually ask for a time where you can come back. Hopefully it'll be sometime soon. Set an appointment, return. If they hesitate, hey, and just invite them to church and give them a tract and say, hey, you know, I hope one of these days I can stop by and we can talk about that. But in the meantime, let me give you an invitation to our church. We're right over here at such and such a place. We've got children's ministries. We've got a nursery. We've got this, that, and the other, blah, 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 and so forth and so on. And make sure that you let them know where it's at. Why? There's Eastside Assembly of God. You don't want them going there. There's Morningside Baptist Church. You don't want them going there. If you go down this street and turn right, there's a little old white church down there. You don't want them going there. Say, we're the beige and burgundy building. You can't miss us. Why? Because there's several churches in this area. The last thing you want them to do is go to the wrong church. Amen. Because they may never come out. They may stay there. Amen. And so make sure you can turn the conversation back. Notice what it says down there as well. Exchange contact information. Notice what it says. If a conversation has gone this far, whether or not you share the gospel, this is probably someone you want to ask to take down their contact information to be able to visit them again. You may offer your cell phone number as a good sign of faith. Amen. So you're trying to help get that in there. And notice as well, this is probably not in your book. If I've not shared the gospel, he gives something that he says. Amen. If I didn't get a chance to share the gospel, he said, Joe, thanks for your time today. Joe, I'm sorry, they're just using your name in the book, but amen. Thanks for your time, Joe. I really would love for you to visit Lancaster Baptist Church sometime. He's using Lancaster here. Let me give you my phone number so you can let me know which Sunday you can come. And if you have any questions in the meantime, you can call me. He says he normally writes his number on the track. That's good to do. Write it on the card. And as you're writing it down there, hey, do you mind giving me your number as well? I'd like to call you and let you know what we've got going on. By the way, we've got something coming up real soon. It's called Bring a Friend Day. Amen. Start a trend. Bring a friend. I'd love for you to be my friend and sit with me. And guess what? Amen. They might say, you know what? I've been wanting to come to church, but I didn't have anybody to go with. By the way, do people normally want to go to a church where they don't know anybody and sit by themselves? No. They want to go to a church where they know somebody that somebody can sit next to them and help them out. Nobody wants to go to a foreign church by themselves alone and just sit there like a, you know, they don't know anybody. They always want to know somebody. So it's always good to say, I'd love for you to sit next to me. Love for you to be next to me. I know me joke with folks. I said, I'd love for you to sit with me. I said, but you would have to sit up on the platform over here on my right side. Everybody look at you. I said, now, if you don't mind, I don't mind. They started looking at me like, I said, I'm just joking, amen. I'm just joking. You don't have to sit up on the platform. I said, but my wife will be there. I'd love for you to sit with my family and sit over here and do this, that, and the other, amen. The goal, again, is exchanging some kind of contact information. He says, if you have shared the gospel, this is something you can say. Joe, thank you again for your time today. I want to give you my phone number so you can call me with any questions you may have. From there, getting their number would be similar as above. When you didn't get a chance to share the gospel with them, you invite them out. Amen. If they got saved, you give them some assurance verses. Amen. Again, try to follow up with them any way you can. And he says that normally what he tries to do is come back another time and bring them a little book. One of the guys that I'm working on right now, John Bryant, left him with several books. I'm trying to win him. And he took me one time. I gave him a tract and he didn't read it. And I said, next time I come, I said, I'm going to read the tract to you. Remember that, Pastor White? Amen. And I held him to that, too. And I said, I'm going to read the tract to you. I said, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to read it to you. And he just laughed. I said, I'm not laughing. I'm serious. I'm going to read it to you. And he didn't back down either. He's like, well, OK, that's what you want to do. What am I doing? I present the gospel to him. Amen. John is that kind of a folk that you got to be like that. Amen. And so the next area here, real quick, is for a specific visit. We'll just look at a couple things here. For a specific visit, it says when you're making a specific visit or you've been assigned an area or you've been a follow up to someone that's visited your church or maybe a child has attended the church and has been saved. You're trying to go back out and set up an appointment. You do the same thing. You introduce yourself. You quickly give your name, the church. You explain why you're there, the purpose of the visit. If it's for the children, let them know. If it's for a children's program, you do that. Notice in your book it says introduce yourself quickly. Give the name of your church early. On explain the purpose for your visit. One difference, however, is that in this type of visit, you usually have more opportunity for casual conversation. This is helpful because the more someone feels that you're their friend, the more likely they are to open up to you in spiritual conversation. Casual conversation helps to establish something of a friendship before you lead into sharing the gospel. By the way, that's what happened with the Warrens. Their children came to Patch or was it Patch or something? They came to some program. Mom came out. Mom got saved. Ultimately, Dad came out. Dad got saved. As a result of the Warrens being here, Lottie got saved as a result. VBS. And then as a result of them getting saved, Lottie got saved. As a result of Lottie getting saved, her husband got saved, was here on Sunday. As a result of them getting saved, her son Zach came out. He got saved. Then his girlfriend Nicole got saved, all because a children's program was instituted and we went out to reach the family. Amen. And so now they haven't been baptized yet, but amen, we're working on them. So those are ways that you can get the conversation steered in the right direction. Notice they give you this acronym here, HELP. HELP, and it stands for house, employment, loved ones, possessions. House, did you notice flowers in the yard, or is there something in the interior you can comment on? We have the same painting in our room. Oh, you've got Bugs Bunny. Oh, I love Bugs Bunny. Oh, Tom and Jerry. Your kids watch Tom and Jerry? My kids watch Tom and Jerry. Anything about the house that you can notice that you can strike up a conversation? That's what the house stands for. Notice something pleasant about the house, the color, the cleanliness. The order, amen. The order of the house, how well they have things. Maybe they've got a candle fragrance burning or something like that. Maybe a vanilla smell or a smell that you like, eucalyptus or something like that. Something about the house that you can comment on when you go into the house. And that, what does that do to the person that you're visiting? Makes them comfortable. Ladies, how does it make you feel people comment on something in your house positively? Hey, doing my job. They noticed. It makes the person feel good that you noticed. Now, if somebody come to my house talk about Chicago Bears, that's going to make me feel good until they start bashing my Bears. That's not going to make me feel good. Amen. But if they say that, I'm good to go. Employment, where do they work? What is their job like? What do they do? You want to try to find out what do they do? Why? Again, giving you an avenue in to get conversation started. Employment, and where do you work? Do you work on the base? Normally, you find somebody with a crew cut hair. What's one of the first things you assume? Military. Now, they could be working at the deaf-blind school like Brother Fred. They could be working at Intuit like Sam. Now, what could we surmise from Sam? That he is in the military or he is not in the military? Why is he not in the military? What's that? He doesn't have a military haircut. He's got hair on his face. You can't have hair on your face in the military. Could we say that Aaron is probably in the military? He's possibly in the military. Amen. Then we come over to Jesse. Jesse, like me, ain't got no hair, so we don't know. Amen. Said, we don't have no hair. Folks say, well, you don't have the military crew cut, so I don't know if you're in the military or you're not in the military. Amen. And so you're always looking for something to bring the gospel to them in some way or shape, fashion, or form. Employment, where do they work? Loved ones, how many children do they have? If you already know a family member who attends your church, you can comment on why you appreciate that person. Look for a child's item. Look for a Disney tech character. Do you have other children here? Are there other children? Do you have teenagers here? Well, how old is your oldest child? You know, you'd be surprised. Oh, yeah, he's been looking. He wanted to go to church, but the little one said he couldn't go because he was too old. Then what can you say? Yeah, he can. How old is he? He's 35. Well, you know, he needs to come to church. And the last one is possessions. Do they have pets? Do you have the same car? There's got to be some type of possession that you can kind of categorize on and talk about. Again, these are things that you can do for specific visits. The house, comment on something in the house. Employment, where do they work? Loved ones, how many children do they have? Comment on something of that nature. Possessions, what do they have that you can strike up a conversation on? Again, people like to talk about subjects that are familiar to them. And if they can talk about something familiar to them, then you've got them talking now. If we start talking about the Patriots, Elijah would probably be the only one in here that would go for the gusto. The rest of us, our teams got beat. Amen. So we couldn't talk like he could. But, I mean, he would just light up if you talk about New England. We won a Super Bowl. And I can say, well, let's go back to 1991. Chicago Bulls won the championship. But he wasn't even born back then, so he couldn't go there. Amen. Go back further, 85, Bears won a Super Bowl. Ouch. Amen. That was a long time ago. Hey, but guess what? He could get excited about this. So whatever it is that you find that's interest to them, when these visits come up, the thing you're trying to do is lower their defenses to get the gospel in. You're trying to be able to turn the conversation. You're trying to get a foot in the door so that you can share with them about your church and your Savior so that they somehow can get saved and get the gospel. So we'll stop with that one right there. But the main thing that I want you to take home from this is what we talked about. Don't try to be the Holy Spirit. That is so hard to get used to. It seems so spiritual to say, well, I was gauging and I didn't think they were ready. That's not up to us. It's not up to us. You know, let them tell you no. You know, if they tell you no, they ain't ready. Amen. But don't you say, well, I don't think they're ready. That's not our call. Amen. That would be an opportunity lost. Especially, don't make the same mistake I make. With children. Don't. Children, you'd be surprised what children can learn and what children know and how untainted their minds are and how receptive and how readily acceptable they are to the gospel. They're not hard-hearted like adults. And so when it comes to children, if they come and say they want to get saved, give it to them. Say, what if they made a false profession? The Holy Spirit will show them in time. I mean, I've heard a number of children go all the way to adults and said, I made a profession as a child, and it really wasn't real. But that's not our call. That's their call. That's the Holy Spirit's call. Amen. So when it comes to that, don't play the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let God deal with these people's hearts and let God guide. Amen. Again, take it personal. You want to make sure that you're being the best witness that you can at your job, in your community, wherever you go. And the more we know, the more resources we have, the more ability we have to reach people and talk to people, the more comfortable we feel equipped wise. The easier it's going to be for us to say something. Amen. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. Pastor, why don't you come on up and close us in a word of prayer and give us any last minute announcements that we need to have.